essence that would not separate us from the love of Christ. And then today we look at 10 more contestants that cannot separate us from the love of God. The last couple of verses of Romans and chapter 8. And so you follow along. I'll leave you sit down since you just now got sit down and comfortable. I'll leave you sit down. And let's look at Romans and chapter 8. Let's look at the first verse one more time before we get to the last verse. Romans chapter 8, the first verse says this: "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And so we start with this question: are you in Christ Jesus? That was a good Sunday school lesson we had today, and it ended with that same question: are you saved? Are you born again? Are you in Christ Jesus? Notice the statement: there is now therefore no condemnation. I spent a lot of time here at Bisparity Baptist Church looking at the fact that we are saved from... What's your natural response to that? When I said, are you saved from sin? Okay. But the truth is, the Bible makes a big deal that we are saved from the condemnation of sin. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son. Believing on the name of the only begotten Son, when we do it the biblical way, brings about born again, bought by the blood. I've been redeemed to salvation. And verse 1 of chapter 8 says this: "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Then it has this last clause that says something to the effect of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And so an emphasis here is on the fact that, hey, when we're saved, we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And again, it's not our walk that gets us saved. It's not our walk that gets us out of condemnation. It is our faith by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. One more verse on the way to our text. Look at verse 18. I like Paul's reckoning here. "For I reckon," Paul says in verse 18, "that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And so notice again that we are to be instruments that reveal the glory of God. And Paul here reckons that the sufferings we do later on, that the, what is that next verse there? Verse 27, the infirmities, no, verse 26, the infirmities that we have. And we probably got some of them here this morning. Makes us groan and moan in the morning. But not murmur, okay, nor complain. And so notice again here that the sufferings that we go through in this world. The next verse there in verse 28 says all things that we go through in this world. Listen, it's not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So let's jump down now to our last week's text, starting there in verse 34, 35, 31. Let's start at 31. Really, I'll list the questions. We've gone through all of them. And it says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things. And then our question we looked at last week, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If God be for us, it is God that justifieth, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, and even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. I'm sorry, I jumped in a little early there. Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, shall famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? We looked at each of them last week. Look at verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then verse 38, today's text. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. Father, we've rambled through this chapter in Romans on several occasions now. Father, we want to land this thing and look again at your great love for us. Bring it into focus and understand it, comprehend it. Understand some verses that we love you because you first loved us. Father, that we are to love one another with the same undying love that you have for us. So I pray again, Father, that you'd help us to understand a little bit more of your love. Father, that we could again just wallow in it today in such a way that you'd set a course for us this week that we begin this day. That we walk different, that we talk different, that we again be ministers of reconciliation. Tell someone else what you did for us. We'll praise you and thank you for your tug on our hearts, your leading, and your word that has the ability to divide our thoughts and intents. This morning, ask this in the name of Christ, and for your name's sake, we'd ask, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I still can't get over that verse there that says that it's not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I've taken off and listed a couple of places where the Bible speaks about us bringing glory to his name. And none is greater than Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7 that says, hey, he's going to hold us up. He's going to hold the church up for all of eternity and say, look at that. That is grace. I saved the lives of those people. And we're going to be held up as an example of God's saving grace. And here, while we're in this world, we're given these assurances. Here are 10 of them we'll look at today. That these things cannot separate us from the love of God. Did you ever hear the excuse that the dog ate my homework? We don't even have a dog. And somewhere, my homework, I had all of this drawn out outlines. And I picked it up. And I kept all 15 pages of them. I stapled them together here. And then listen, pages 17 and 16 and 17 here. So I'm going to assume that they're the... I'll remember enough of them to get them in. They're lost someplace in our own. It's been scary amazing now that we've started spring cleaning a little bit, how many things have disappeared around our house. And I'm thinking, where did I put that again? And I'm having more and more senior moments. Appreciate again that you're tolerant of that. So we've looked at here again. Last week we looked at the second death. and looked up the verses. I didn't have the references here. They were on that last page I lost. Looked up the references again that dealt with the second death. And so his questions here, and the things that he gives in this list, as I call them contestants, because there is a contest going on in these two verses. When he lists things and gives us an assurance that these things cannot separate you from the love of Christ, our list of seven from last week, be assured that there's a contest going on that they will try and separate us from the love of Christ. And the contest is not in the mind of God. The contest is in your mind. The contest is in what we go through and looking at. And we can come to the mully grub position that Psalms 42, David talking to his soul says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God and give praise to his name." And so we can get cast down. We can get discouraged and even disgruntled and come to a place where we say, God doesn't love me. Christ doesn't love me. What's the song we used to sing with the teenagers when I was a youth pastor? I'm going to be honest with you. I like being a youth pastor more than I like being a pastor. We had some good times, but we sang this song. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms. We know that song, but we heard that before.
Yeah, I see what it's at.
And so, listen, we can come to that place where we think that God has forgotten us. David came to a place where he said, and in fact, all of Israel, God said, you come to a place where you think the heaven is brass, judgment. Listen, we can come to a place where we're removed from God, but God says, hey, have faith. Trust me in this. And we can go through trials. And I've seen people go through trials that I said, I don't know how I would deal with that. Here we have this assurance given us in two lists that we'll never be separated from the love of Christ. And here, none of these can separate us from the love of God. And so study these and have this assurance as we bump into things in life that God loves us. And so we looked at that list and started with death. Praise the Lord. I am persuaded that neither death nor life. Notice again, when you talk about life or death, we put it the other way around. But here it says death nor life. First off, we are saved from death. There's going to be no second death in our lives. And we looked at the meaning of that, and we looked at the references to that last week again. And so if you missed that, again, you can still catch that in your concordance or search engine by looking up the second death and all that the Bible says about that. It's a good thing to be cognizant of those things. And so there's no death for us. We're not going to face judgment. We're not going to be there at the white throne judgment where the works are pulled out and men have to answer for all. But all, again, that appear before the white throne judgment are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the Bible says. And so death cannot separate us from the love of God. Look at the next life. Life shall not separate us from the love of God. Sometimes, I've not been there probably, but I could well imagine, I've seen it in others, that it's easier to say that I'll die for God than it is to say I'll live for God. And immediately comes to my mind is Peter, who said that. And he says, though everyone else would forsake you, I will not forsake you. I'm going to live for you, and yea, I'll even die for you, Peter said. And what did Jesus say? Yeah, sorry, Peter, listen. Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me. Before the cock crows twice, I thought it rhymed. You're going to deny me thrice, if I remember right. And so, and did he? Yes, he did. Did that separate him from the love of God? No, it did not. And listen, even the sorry situations that you get yourself into as a believer will not separate us from the love of God. And so it's hard sometimes to live daily. Someone once said, the trouble with life is it's so daily. Well, I want to encourage you again that to keep at it and keep life again, living for Christ, living for God. Keep Christ in the position where we could think of the verse, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind, and have that pertinent in our life on, say, Monday morning, okay, when we first have our first conscious thought to understand that, hey, God wants me to live for Him today. He wants our life. But notice here that even the loss of our life, even the fact that we might not be living like we ought, listen, it's not going to separate us from the love of God. He's going to watch out for us. He's going to love us in every situation we can be in. I've talked to people who thought they were so vile that God could never save them. I've talked to Christians who thought they had sinned so horribly that God could not use them. Listen, there's no such place. There's no such position. Again, that no matter what sin we might get tangled in, God can always use us. God will always love us and has a purpose for us in His service and in our being ministers of reconciliation. So there's no death nor life that could separate us from the love of God. Look at the rest of this list. I'm going to combine these next three together. Angels, principalities, and powers. Angels, principalities, and powers. I wrote 12 volumes of systematic theology. I say I wrote that. I didn't. I compiled it. I included like five other books inside of my compilation. But one of those is called Angelology, where we study angels. You know, the Bible doesn't have a chapter and verse section on angels. It has a lot of insights. But again, what we draw out about angels is pretty much not the main thing. And so you want to be careful of people who've got a lot of wrong ideas about angels. And the first one, let me straighten out, again, it's become a hobby horse of mine, that in the Bible, angels are never called sons of God. Let me say that again. In the Bible, angels are never called sons of God. John 1:12, tells us there's only one way that someone can be called the sons of God, and that's to them that believe on His name. And listen, that don't work for angels. And so there's only one means where one can be called the Son of God, and that's, again, when humans call on the Lord Jesus Christ and make Him their Savior. Now, in the Old Testament, that word, when they believed, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted him for righteousness. And so, again, here we're seeing, again, a little bit about angels. And to understand, there's a lot said about them. I've run this theory, again, it's between the lines theory, but that there's three archangels that are called out in the Bible. Arch, again, being the higher order of angels, or the highest order of angels. And Michael, we know, is an archangel. I call him the archangel of God. Gabriel is an archangel. He's called the archangel of the Holy Spirit. And Lucifer was an archangel, and he was the archangel of the Son of God. And so Lucifer fell and brought about the dilemma that we're walking through right now. And when he fell, and there's a whole host of angels that left heaven with him. And so when we're talking about angels here, it's talking about those angels that fell or those angels that didn't. To understand that, hey, there's no way that they can separate you from the love of God. And that's as deep as I want to go into angelology today. But there's a lot more that should be said about. Hebrews chapter 1 speaks again, and 2 speaks again about angels. They're not to be worshipped, and they're not to be exalted. And so angels shall not separate you. The next is principalities. And a principality is kind of the same flavor of someone that's of higher order, higher power. It's from the Latin word that means in first place, of higher precedence. And so notice here we have principalities. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We just preached this in Ephesians chapter 6. I loved every ounce of it. That we're to put on the whole armor of God. Why must we do that? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, there it is, against powers, the second from the list that we're looking at, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are engaged in a spiritual warfare. And here, when Paul is addressing them, telling them to put on armor and act like a soldier, when he gives Timothy a charge to be a good soldier for the Lord, it's because we're in an army. And we are to fight not against humans, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And you can have no doubt that there is the darkness of this world. Turn back a couple chapters, Ephesians chapter 3, and look with me at verse 10, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. I said when we were looking again at the glory that God's going to get from our lives, our trials, our infirmities, our situations, the glories of that's not to be compared to going through all of eternity and the glory we are to give to God. And here's a verse that emphasizes that very same thought, that we are given, we are in this world, we are walking around in this world in temptations, in situations, in infirmities, in trials. We're walking here so that we could again be held up unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. I can't read that or think that thought, but when I go back to the first chapters of Job, where God says to Satan himself, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in all the earth? And so again, notice again that we have an object lesson of Job going through unexplained calamities so that because that, God is having a contest with who? With these principalities and powers in heavenly places, that they might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And so, we're not only warring against them, but listen, God's showing us off to them. And again, when we're going through trials, when you're going through infirmities, when you're going through situations, not only does it not separate you from the love of God, but certainly understand this, that it also causes that the powers of this world look at your life. Not just your neighbors looking at it. Praise the Lord. They are, by the way. Not just other people. Yea, even other people in your church look at trials that we go through and get glory off to God for that. But listen, so does all the realms of demons in this world. So do all the realms of powers in this world. powers of darkness. And another verse, I think it's someplace in 1 Timothy. No, it was in Titus. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, they put Chuck E. Schumer in that situation. They put, again, magistrates and authorities that are over top of us in this situation of being principalities and powers in this world. And we're to, again, for them, be an example of God's glory and be a presence of God. Hey, listen, that's big league stuff. That's above my pay grade. Here we are, considering these things and understanding that God sets us up in front of them to show off His power and might. And boy, we don't want to be whining, complaining, baptized in vinegar Christians. We want to, again, be victorious, as it says. More than conquerors, as it says. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. We're working our way down through a list of 10 here, and I could pause on this one even longer, but I hope, again, you got the picture that God has contests going on in heaven with these principalities and powers, and they say, have you considered my servant, Eddie Rice? I don't know if you've ever put your name in that sentence of God before. But again, understand that there's contests going on with God. We're on the winning side, and we need to behave ourselves as more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Principalities, powers. And then it says, verse 38, Romans chapter 8, verse 38, nor things present, nor things to come. And listen, if things present wasn't bad enough to shake us, to understand that, hey, there's principalities and powers going on presently right now. Listen, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And so he has this emphasis that, hey, even in the end times, even when there's going to be a tribulation that's the greatest tribulation ever to be, even when there is an abomination of desolation, which is things to come yet. So we can have this assurance that, hey, there's nothing present. And listen, there's nothing in our future. There's nothing coming down the pipe that could separate us from the love of God. We are embedded in the love of God. Nor things present, nor things to come. I lost track of my number here on the list because the dog ate my note. Nor height, nor depth. I don't know why that's in there, personally. I've dug through it a couple times. I've thought through it a couple times. And I thought of Dave Johnson when I talked about heights and airplanes. the heights are not going to separate us, even if we're 30,000 feet up in the air again. But I don't think that's exactly what it's talking about. I think it's all powers, and you notice again coming up here is the last line. And so there's no height, there's no creature, there's no inhabitant, there's no thing in all the heights of this world, heights of this universe, let's go. And there's no thing in the very depths of this universe. From the highest star of heaven, as we sang in the song, to the depths of the sea. Listen, there's nothing in all of that that could possibly separate us from the love of God. I flip over every once in a while to Channel 36. I don't know what it is. It's some idiot channel. And they've always got these shows about alien space beings. And now there's an alien investigator missing in New Mexico. And he was certainly abducted by aliens, those green men again. And so And I hesitate to mention it again, but I've worked in Area 51 and been there. We did a lot of our black ops program there, investigations and radar searches there in Area 51. And again, I've seen the stories over and over again that when someone asked, was this a crash of a UFO? And the answer from the government is, we can neither confirm nor deny. And once they say that, boy, it's off. That whole wreck, we had a F-117 go down just outside of St. Louis, and they had to go through and pick up, and it was a black airplane. No one knew that it existed. We had built it, and they had to go through and pick up every piece of titanium and aluminum. Every piece had to be found and returned, because all of it and its construction was highly classified. And so when they out there shrouded off that whole 4-acre field again where F-117 went down, they covered it off and no one was allowed in there. They went through and picked up every piece of that airplane. And what did they say? Was this an alien spacecraft that crashed? And they said, we can neither confirm nor deny. And listen, so I see all that stuff, and I have some understandings of that. But listen, this whole world is eager to believe in anything but God. And they'll grasp that. Some of your kin, I know of, again, believe that there are space aliens that came to this earth and built the pyramids or whatnot. So again, understand that, hey, there's nothing in the height of heaven. That height of heaven, the Bible says that there's a shroud of water around God's universe. And under the water are all the stars of heaven. All the black holes, all the Milky Way, all the galaxies of heaven are contained in the universe that God created in 6 days. And listen, there's nothing inside of all of the universe in height or in depth that could, again, separate us from the love of God. So you can't even go there. You can't even surmise that there's something out there. No, God says he's got us in this thing. And it's humans that are God's main thing here. And lastly, it says, this is number 10, nor any other creature. If they didn't cover enough stuff for you, there's no other creature. Listen, all creatures were made by God. Lucifer was created by God. And the Bible's pretty emphatic that all the hosts of heaven were created in the 6-day creation. There's not eons of time before, nor a gap in any of Genesis' account. God said he created this world in 6 days, and he said that in 12 places. Again, there's no creation of anything outside of those 6 days. In all of our universe, it's all created. And listen, here it says, hey, there's no other creature. There's only one creature that God made in his likeness and in his image. That is the human being. And we are, again, God's primary thought in the whole universe. What is man that thou art mindful of? Listen, there's only one created thing in all the universe that could become the sons of God. And that is, again, man whom the Lord Jesus Christ died for. And are you sons of God? Ladies, are you sons of God? That's not speaking of gender. That's speaking of a relationship that you are here to be joint heirs with God. And again, here we find in the scriptures that this whole list, first 7 things that will never separate us from the love of Christ. And now here's 10 things more that will never separate us from the love of God. What are we then to do in light of these things? We're to be ministers of reconciliation. Let's look at that one more time. As I close out Romans chapter 8, our study here, I want that we find an assurance of this charge in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you look at it with me. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, it's got verse 17 that we've all memorized. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 has three things that cause, wherefore do we labor, it says in verse 9. And the answers are in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's why we labor. That's why we're struggling in this world. That's why we again get up on Monday morning and look to live and walk with the Lord. And we do that because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an answer. Verse 11, and we are, know again, the terror of the Lord. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's what we're to be about. We're to be men persuaders, to tell someone else of what Christ has done for us. Why would we do that? Verse 14 brings another reason. For the love of Christ constraineth us. And so we are constrained here to be persuaders of men. Then look with me at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I'm in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is on top of the charge that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is on top of the charge that we know the terror of the Lord, therefore we persuade men. This is on top, again, of the understanding that the love of Christ constraineth us. Verse 18. We memorize 17 and stop and ignore 18. Let's look at 18. That says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us by himself, by Jesus Christ, and have given to us as a ministry of reconciliation. Listen, he reconciled us to Christ, and he's given us a ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20 then says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Praise the Lord. And with this assurance that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ nor the love of God, let's walk through this week with the knowledge that we need to be ambassadors for Christ. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you again that we could look at it. Thank you that you give us a charge out of Romans chapter 8 that would stir our hearts, change our lives. Pray again that it change our walk and talk. And this week that we've begun in your word, worshiping together with others, we'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Dave and Cameron, you got to be somewhere again. It's good to have you here. Lord bless you for being with us here. All right, let's stand and let's dismiss. With that chorus we started with, boy, it's good to be saved. I want to thank the Lord for our salvation. And that chorus said this. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set us free. Someday he's coming back, what glory that will be. Wonderful his love to me. Praise the Lord. Make sure you greet David.